Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's verse-by-verse study in 2 Timothy. Because it's the final letter Paul would add to his impressive collection of 13 New Testament books, Chuck titled this series Paul's Swan Song. It was written from prison just prior to Paul's execution. His warm and affectionate counsel to Timothy bore the marks of a seasoned veteran in ministry who was passing the baton from one generation to the next. Before we continue our study in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Chuck will lead us in prayer.
Every gift comes from above, and it comes from you, the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow caused by our turning. Whether we are faithless or faithful, you shine brightly. As bright as the morning sun, your compassions are new. Thank you, Father. And how good you are to give us, in our own language, our own copies of the Bible. Thank you for living truth, ancient words that give life and meaning to life on this old planet. Thank you for meeting our every need and for deliberately not meeting our every want. Thank you for teaching us the difference between price and value. Thank you for the commitment of your people who have sustained the work over the years. Guard us from any worry, knowing that this ministry will be sustained by your faithful prompting in the lives of your faithful people. We pray especially today on this cool morning for those who are long ways away from home. Place protection around them, the shield of your care, the bulwark of your presence. It's in his name we pray, and because of his death we live. And everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called God-Breathed Truth.
Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying to him in so many words, finish strong, finish well. But finishing well doesn't start when you're on the track. It starts years before you ever make it to the track. It starts when you're little. It starts when you're an adolescent, when you're a young adult. Something grips you and you realize what life is about, why it's significant, that its greatest dimensions are eternal, and you're determined to go all the way strong. That was Paul's hope for Timothy when he wrote this last letter to him. Chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Don't toss in the towel because things get going against you. Don't give up because a few people criticize you. As a matter of fact, verse 13, evil men and women and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Stay at it. Finish the task. Run the race. Don't back off. So when we get to these last verses of chapter 3, the apostle is saying these words to younger Timothy because he knows Timothy has years left and the apostle only has hours left. Let's take Paul's words as counsel from the Lord God to us personally. So let's ask the question and answer it four different times and fill in the blanks, if you will. How can I finish well? What's necessary for me to run the race and go all the way to the tape, even if I have to crawl across it? If I'm so physically spent and weak, I can't run it, how can I cross the line and say as I look back, that life was well lived? Four answers come to us from these four verses, and I want you to notice them. One by one, we've given you an outline for you to follow. First of all, by continuing in what we have learned. See verse 14 again, chapter 3. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We'll get to that part in a moment. Look at the first part. Hold to what you have been taught. Hold to your convictions. Mark it down. Those who finish well do so because they don't forget what they have been taught. Reliable, trustworthy, accurate information, nor do they fail to form their own bone-deep convictions. So the good question is, do you know what you believe? Do you know what your belief system is? Can you defend it in a room full of people who aren't believers? Are your convictions such that when you're outnumbered, you don't yield? How do I do that? What's the secret? Well, go back to the verse. We continue in the things we have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom we have learned them. So let's fill in the blank. Number one, we continue in the things we have learned by going back to our original parents and grandparents and family teaching. We go back to our original parents and grandparents and family teaching. Our earliest impressions are our most long-standing truths. We can trace them back, I certainly can in my life, to our original homes. And I would say next, from our teachers and mentors and close friends. We stay with what we have learned by remembering what our teachers taught us, what our mentors modeled before us, and this is true for Timothy. In his own life, he could remember back to the things he saw in Paul's life. We can only imagine what went on those years that they traveled together. The hard places that they came to. The criticism and attacks that came against Paul, and Timothy must have watched in the shadows or in the wings, watching Paul as he stood firm. Hopefully you have had in your life a few mentors who have modeled for you the life worth living. It will help you finish well. Back to Timothy, and we'll use this by application. Look at verse 15. And, so the sentence continues, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Go back to chapter 1, verse 5. Love this verse. 2 Timothy 1, 5. I am mindful, writes Paul, of the sincere faith within you. That's singular, that's Timothy. But it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. From his earliest days, Timothy was drinking in God's truth right along with his mother's milk. As she nursed him, she taught him, and what she didn't say, the grandmother did say. And as she sang to him the songs of Zion from the Psalms, the grandmother harmonized. And as she prayed prayers over this little boy, the grandmother said, Amen. Mom and grandmother, faithfully pouring their lives into this little brephos, this little boy. Thank the Lord he listened to the right source. Timothy, listen to me, son. When you're a little older, you're going to have to remember this. Because you'll be surrounded in your education by children who will not believe these convictions. Listen closely. Form these convictions yourself. So when we cultivate our own convictions, we begin to end well. We begin to finish our lives well. Here's another one. By gleaning wisdom through our own faith. See the end of verse 15? These things are able to give you the wisdom which leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Remember this simple statement. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Every generation must hammer out for himself or herself the truths of what we believe and where we stand. That's what makes us fearful regarding this current generation. A nation that leaves the Lord leaves a people in that direction. That has its own fallout. When it affects families that leave the Lord, it affects the children of that family and those families. There comes a time when each one of us realizes, this is for me. Let me let you in a little coffee time Cynthia and I had together. It was early this morning, around 6 o'clock. I let her sleep in till 5 today, and we were having coffee at 6. And so we were sitting there together, and we got on the subject of the Billy Graham Crusade in Houston, 1952. The reason we got there is I was telling her about what I was going to be preaching on today. She said, it reminds me of when my faith became real to me. She said, I'd been converted as a little girl, but she said, I remember when Billy Graham came in 52, a lady in our church said to me, have you ever thought about being a counselor in the upcoming Billy Graham Crusade? Cynthia, age 15, still in high school, said, no, but I'd like to do that. She said, well, you'll have to go to 4 sessions, 1 a week for the next 4 weeks before, in a month from now, the crusade begins. Okay. So she hopped in the car with these other people. I'm sure most of them older than she. They go to the church where they're being taught by Lauren Sanney with the Navigators. Sanney teaches all of these people, first of all, how to know Christ. Because Sanney told her later when we were at a conference at Glen Eyrie, he said, you know, I've learned over the years that many people come to be counselors and they don't even know the Lord. So I began by giving the gospel. Well, she said, I sat there and I listened and I knew that I'd believed. But I was hearing things about leading people to Christ and the next time they met and the next. She said, in one of those sessions on our way home, I'm sitting in the middle of the back seat. Even told me where she was sitting. She said, I remember thinking, this is for me. This is real to me. And I commit myself, she says in her heart, I commit myself to serving Christ in whatever ministry he has for me. She had no, we had not even met. By the end of 1953, we were engaged. 16. It's not illegal in Arkansas, but it is here. It's a joke, okay? It's a joke. Relax. So she sits there and she says, this is real to me. And she said, that was a turning point. From that moment on, my whole life was different. Isn't that interesting? This was a turning point in her life. I think mine came in the military, so far removed from home and family and even my wife. We had no children then. But I remember in the aloneness of those weeks and months away, and because of, thank God for the Navigators and the contribution they made to my spiritual life, I remember coming to terms with that and thinking, this is my faith. These are my convictions. I'm going to stand on them. I remember, like it was yesterday, thinking, ministry. I've never thought about being in ministry. I was going to go back to a job in a machine shop. Can you picture me in a machine shop? Neither could the other machinists. They were probably thrilled that I wouldn't return. I remember standing on the flatbed doing a street meeting with my buddy Bob Newkirk with the Navigators, and he's preaching his heart out. I'm leading the singing. We got hundreds of people, Asians, all around us, and we're giving them the gospel. We have a translator there, and I'm sitting there going, man, this is so good. I want to do this. Never dawned on me before. In fact, I said to Bob after the meeting, hey, Bob, I'm thinking about ministry. He goes, why not? I said, I really am kind of leaning in that direction. He goes, duh. And I said, but that means I got to go back to school. He goes, double duh. So I come back. I tell Cynthia, something happened to me while I was overseas. She said, what is it? And I tell her, and she said, oh, that's great. So we go to Dallas Seminary. I'm allowed to go there on probation. So I get into ministry, and I go back to my high school. Oh, I'm so glad you didn't know me in my high school years. And I meet up with Eugene Seastrand, my old high school band teacher. And he says, what are you doing for a living? I said, well, I'm in ministry. He goes, a few words, and then he says, you're kidding. I said, no. He said, I thought you'd be in prison by now. I probably should be, but you know what happened? Faith became real, all on my own. She's nothing special. I'm nothing special. You're nothing special. Just every one of us before God is something special, each one of us. I'd venture to say many of you have never come to that place in your life. You're rocking along, coming to church, singing the songs, carrying your Bible, talking about Jesus every once in a while, not very often. But you read this from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom. The wisdom. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word concerning Christ. Suddenly, something snaps, and you go, that's for me. Doesn't mean you have to enter the ministry. Doesn't mean you have to go into vocational Christian service. It means suddenly your faith jumps off the page of a Bible and takes up residence in your life. And it begins to change the way you think, the way you act, the way you rear your children, the way you live your life. It just changes you. That's part of the wisdom that comes through faith, which is in Christ. Now, how can I finish? Well, let's keep going here. By placing value on what God revealed. Now, I'm about to get into verse 16, which is the single most significant verse in all the New Testament regarding the Scriptures. So I want your undivided attention. You will rarely hear teaching like this in any church today. I don't say that to be self-serving or proud. I say it with a broken heart. When I was growing up, you'd hear it in a lot of evangelical churches. But the kind of teaching I'm going to give you in verse 16 is unusual teaching. We're going to analyze the verse because it's so significant, and I spend time on it because it is the watershed issue of faith. What you believe about the Bible has everything to do with how you live your life based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look closely. Look closely. How can I finish? Well, by placing value on what God revealed. To begin with, by trusting its supernatural origin. By trusting its supernatural origin. We're going to dig deeply here, so get your thinking caps on. All Scripture, it's the same thought as the sacred writings in verse 15. All of the sacred writings, all Scripture, is theopneustos. Theo, T-H-E-O, is God. Neustos is from the word pneuma, which is air, wind. When I was going to get out of the Marine Corps and come back to the machine shop, I would be involved in building pneumatic tools. Air-driven paving breakers, impact wrenches, screwdrivers, all driven by an air compressor, a hose connected to the tool. They are pneuma, pneumatic tools. This is God pneuma, God breathed. Stay with me. All Scripture is God breathed. Now put that on hold for a moment and listen closely. When it comes to the Bible, there are three great doctrines. You may want to turn your sheet over and write them down. Three great doctrines you'll need to know about. Number one is revelation. All three are supernatural. Revelation is God's giving his truth to humans supernaturally. He reveals it. That's why it's called revelation. God reveals his truth. That happened in a period of about 1,500 years. God revealed his truth. Revelation was received. The next is inspiration. That is, individuals received and recorded his truth without error. Revelation is God's giving his truth supernaturally. Inspiration is individuals writing and recording the truth supernaturally. And third is illumination. That's the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, whereby he takes the truth and makes us aware of what it means and how it applies. In other words, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in giving us understanding of the sacred writings. Now stay with this. Revelation is over. God is no longer supernaturally revealing his word. Don't let anybody tell you that they heard this from God and it's over and above what Scripture says. God's not doing that. His word is complete. Inspiration is over. It's complete. Shakespeare was inspired when he wrote his poetry, not inspired like the Bible. Mendelssohn was inspired when he wrote his music, not inspired like the Bible. This is a supernatural inspiration in that it is God breathed. Okay? The origin of Scripture, that is, where it comes from, is from God as he breathes out his word. I carry in my Bible, I carry as a Bible the Ryrie Study Bible, the New American Standard Version. I quote now from Ryrie's footnote. The Bible came from God through the men who wrote it. God superintended these human authors so that using their individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error God's word to man. Inspiration does not involve mechanical dictation, but the accurate recording of God's words. Inspiration does not extend beyond the original manuscripts. Though the texts we possess today have been transmitted with high accuracy. You can rely on your Bible. There are a few places where the translation isn't done well or isn't accurate, but in the original text, the Bible was originally inspired and miraculously kept without error. It God breathed. Let me put it this way. When you speak, your words are you breath. Okay? A mixture of your breath, air coming from your lungs through the vocal cords, terms that have been shaped and conditioned in your mind come out of your mouth in a message called speech. Today's message that I'm delivering is a Chuck-breathed message. Got it? It isn't your message. It's my message originating from within my lungs and brain, coming out of my vocal cords, and I'm transmitting it to you. God's word is God-breathed truth. Supernaturally, God superintended the transfer of his mind, his thoughts, into human writers so that they composed and recorded his word without error.
You often hear me say that the Bible is the centerpiece of this daily program. We have nothing to say without the Bible, and we have everything to say with it. This conviction comes from passages like the one we looked at today, 2 Timothy 3. Chuck Swindoll titled his message, God Breathed Truth. And the title of this series is Paul's Swan Song. To purchase the CDs or find downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org/store. Now, we're pleased to offer an exclusive resource from Insight for Living today. It's an excerpt from the upcoming Swindoll Study Bible, featuring three books, the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs. And with Friday as the deadline, time is running out to request your copy. Be ready to jot down our contact information so you can get in touch. First, though, Chuck, in our personal Bible reading, it's not uncommon to feel a bit puzzled by some of the ancient Old Testament books, like Psalms and Proverbs, that were written for an audience 2,000 years ago. What's the key to unlocking their meaning?
The key word, Dave, is context. Sometimes we miss the rich application of these treasured books because we fail to understand the times in which they were written. It really helps to do a little digging and research to discover the cultural context that influenced these authors. For that reason, I've included some of my personal discoveries in this new study Bible. so that you have the historical background for John's Gospel, for the Psalms, and the Proverbs, and how these books relate to the entire Bible. It's helpful to read each book as if the words were delivered to you in real time, so that you can enter into the fullness of biblical times. In addition to giving you historical context, I've also included notes that are taken straight from my own sermon outlines to help you see the point the author is making and what it means for us living in this day. And best of all, we provided a convenient 6-month reading plan that will guide you through a daily encounter with God's Word. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Spend 6 months immersing yourself in John's Gospel, the Psalms, and the Proverbs, and God will use these books to transform your life.
And a copy is yours when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Be sure to mention you'd like to receive the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs from the Swindoll Study Bible when you call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. We are always on the lookout for Bible study tools that inspire and facilitate your personal study in God's Word. And this book is a great example. It's a rich resource entirely consistent with our mission at Insight for Living. So thanks for investing in this ministry by giving a contribution. As you do, we'll be pleased to send you the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs from the Swindoll Study Bible. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. You can also request the book online at insight.org. Chuck Swindoll continues our study in 2 Timothy called Paul's Swan Song Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Breathed Truth, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.